We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, I do know this much. This audience loves the veterans who call in. And one of the proofs of that, just a couple of months ago, back in June, on this radio station, on this program, it was a Thursday afternoon. And because of your generosity, we were able to raise, in less than 3 hours, over $50,000. I mean, I just want you to put that in perspective. You guys contributed over $50,000 for veterans' causes in less than 3 hours. So clearly you have put your money where your mouth is when it comes to our veterans. And today we honor those veterans. And it does not matter to me whether you served as a cook, whether you were on KP duty during your entire military career, whether you were in combat, whether you served in the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, the Marines, the Merchant Marines. It doesn't matter to me. If you are a veteran, you are a veteran, and everybody plays a role in the military. Everybody has a job to do, and some of it is stateside, continental United States stuff, and others, of course, in combat. But you are still a veteran. This day is set aside to honor all of our veterans, all of those who served. We have heard, by the way, if you're just joining us, from three or four people who were involved in what we now call the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the Soviets put offensive nuclear missiles in Cuba and President Kennedy set up a blockade around Cuba to stop any Soviet resupply or supply ships from augmenting what the Soviets had put into Cuba. Now, for the Soviets' point of view, they weren't very happy about our offensive nuclear missiles in Turkey. So to them, it was kind of like, well, you're going to put these in Turkey, we're going to put them in Cuba, once Fidel Castro decided that he was going to side with the Soviet Union, which may have been caused by our refusal to give him aid to industrialize Cuba, because there was a time, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, when the United States government actually supported Fidel Castro in his revolution against the very corrupt president of Cuba at the time, a guy by the name of Batista. And then Castro went over to the dark side, and we wanted nothing to do with Cuba. The mob was not very happy to have lost a major source of revenue in Havana, and of course, aspects of our government, like the State Department and the intelligence folks, weren't too happy to have a communist nation so close to the state of Florida and the United States. And there was a great deal of pressure on President Kennedy to take stronger steps against Cuba to eliminate a communist threat from 90 miles from the state of Florida. There were a lot of people who wanted an all-out invasion of Cuba. And there were a lot of people who were very, very angry with President Kennedy for not providing air cover for the Bay of Pigs invasion, where Cuban exiles stormed Cuba, and their goal was to push Castro out of power. And they always felt betrayed by President Kennedy because he did not deliver on the air support that he had promised to the Cuban rebels trying to get Castro out of power. And as a result of that debacle at the Bay of Pigs, President Kennedy, he basically said he was going to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter them into the wind. Alan Dulles, who was the director of CIA at the time, he lost his job. So did a guy named Cabell, whose brother, by the way, was mayor of Dallas in 1963. So it's a very interesting story, the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it's kind of like World War One. To understand the real history of the 20th century, you really got to understand World War One, and you should have a basic understanding of the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was a lot more important than you might have thought in the long run. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here's Chuck in Sanborn. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. I thought the Coast Guard should get involved a little bit.
I could not agree with you more, sir. The Coast Guard does not get the respect it deserves.
I had the pleasure of serving aboard the United States Coast Guard cutter Acacia out of port here in Michigan from 1967 to 71. And you are a Great Lakes guy, and you know what the witches of November are.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm talking the year before I arrived in 1966, the ship I was assigned to, they were the ones that found the bodies of the guys off the Daniel J. Morrell.
Right, right. And the survivor, right, Dennis Hale?
No, the helicopter picked up Dennis Hale. But the boat that a year before I got on was the one that picked up the people that didn't survive.
Yeah, they were on a life raft, I believe.
That's right.
But no, where you were located on Lake Huron, a lot of people might not know this, but Lake Huron was the focus of one of the worst storms in recorded Great Lakes history, and that was what is known as the Big Blow of 1913. So those are treacherous waters indeed.
It was an adventure, Tom. I had 4 great years there, and I joined right out of high school. And I'm telling you, any young fellow right now just thinking about enlisting something, the Coast Guard's hiring, and it's a great place to be.
Can you talk about the seasick factor? Because the waves on the Great Lakes are, for want of a better term, shorter waves than the ones you get, the swelling waves you get on the ocean.
The day we got underway the first time, and we got out on Lake Huron, and they rolled the rubber mats out on the chow tables, the seasickness is amazing. The up and down is fine. The rolling is what gets you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get your sea legs, and you know it's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, I know you know this, but a lot of people might not know this. The people who travel the oceans on the Salties have been known to get seasick on the Great Lakes.
Absolutely.
Because it's a totally different kind of wave that you experience on the lakes.
It's not a long swell. They're short, and they're huge. In fact, one night it was November, and we were going up Lake Huron. I was a bosun's mate, so I had the 8 to 12 watch. I was on the fantail. All of a sudden, I'm up to my waist in water. I go up on the bridge, and the old man who had sailed on white cutters on the ocean, he looked at me and he goes, "Speed, that is the biggest wave I've ever seen in my life." Took the stanchions off the forecastle. We had big channel buoys on deck. They all broke loose. It's something else. You got the Great Lakes are amazing.
Did you get called in for any ice breaking or escort during the spring breakup duties?
Operation Coal Shovel.
Yeah, you took part.
Oh yeah, we used to come to Buffalo every spring, and we'd sit out off a Whitefish off of Point Avenue, and it was our ship. And 6 freighters. And the 6 freighters were all Canadian.
Yep.
We were stuck out there for a week. And we had to wait for a Canadian Coast Guard cutter to come break us out.
Wow. Well, and again, for those who don't know, I mean, that whole supply chain, I mean, especially the era during which you served, that whole supply chain of grain and the iron ore and the taconite pellets, the industries of Chicago and Detroit and Buffalo could not function unless you and the Coast Guard and your Canadian colleagues and, of course, the people in the commercial maritime industry did not do their job. So, you know, was it combat? Well, not against other people, but it was combat against the elements.
Yes, it was.
Well, it's a great story, and I'm glad you called in with props for the Coast Guard.
Well, Tom, and I really appreciate what you do for us vets.
Well, you are very, very kind. I can never repay what you have done for me, and I am honored to just do my little share as somebody who has always been a civilian. But thank you for your service in the United States Coast Guard.
Semper Paratus, old friend.
All right, my man. Thank you very much. It is Chuck. If we have any more Coast Guard people, that's fine. I would love to hear, first of all, any veteran is welcome to call. Like I said, I don't care if you spent 4 years peeling potatoes. You are a veteran. You wore the uniform. You served your country. And there's going to come a time when we're going to get calls from people who spent their entire career in the military, not leaving the continental United States, but simply playing with joysticks and flying drones and bombing the hell out of people in ISIS from thousands of miles away. We may have some Vietnam people listening, Korea, World War II, Panama. Rambo Jim took part in Panama. We've certainly heard his story before. But any tale you've got as a veteran, any story, your experiences, we'd like to get them on the record here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I never get sick of hearing about what you did as a veteran because there's so many stories out there. And again, folks, and when we've three or four calls from people who played important roles in the Cuban Missile Crisis, it's like one call led to another, led to another, led to another. And I found that dynamic absolutely fascinating. Sandy Beach did his show on our veterans this morning. And also listen to Sandy tomorrow, 9 to noon, because he's got, I think, three more trips that he's got planned between himself and Danny Nevereth. And yes, Viking is involved, and they're going to be doing the longest trip they have ever done. I just emailed Sandy. I want to sign up. I think I want to go on that trip with Sandy and Danny. It might be hard to find somebody to work here at the radio station, but that's just the way it goes. But be listening, because Sandy will have more information on the trips. I don't know where they're going, but I could tell by the excitement in Sandy Beach's voice that these are awesome trips. So make sure you're listening to Sandy Beach tomorrow between 9 and noon to get all the details from News Radio 930 WBEN and the man himself. Let's go to Mike in Alden on WBEN. Michael, hello.
Tom, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Well, we last spoke Veterans Day. I spoke with you and David, and I wanted to remember both my grandfathers who were directly involved in the D-Day invasion. And you mentioned the Merchant Marine. My grandfather was a Merchant Marine in the North Atlantic. He was served from 42 to 46.
And he made it out alive.
Yes, he made it out alive. He did see ships go down. He saw many ships go down. And he was just waiting his turn. That's what he used to tell me.
But it never came.
I never came.
Well, thank God for that. People do not give. It's like the Coast Guard does not get enough props, and our Merchant Marine during the Second World War does not get enough props. They were integral.
That is correct, because they were the supply chain from the U.S. to Britain. You know, and that was open water, and you had German U-boats under there, and many ships went down, you know.
Yeah, it took until a few years into the war before that gap in the North Atlantic got closed by the Catalinas, I think, and some of the other escort vessels which helped those convoys.
Yes.
So
my other grandfather, I wanted to remember him too. He was U.S. Army Airborne. He was airdropped into France on D-Day. Now, he survived also.
You know, we did a show on June 6th about D-Day itself. And I don't know if you were listening, Mike, but the number of listeners to this show who have ancestors, you know, direct relatives directly involved in D-Day was astonishing. And the stories we heard were astonishing.
Yes, I did call that day. I did speak to you and David, I believe.
Is there anybody else you want to recognize, sir, as a veteran we should remember?
Yes, all veterans, past, present, and future, for one. My uncle was U.S. Army 60, I think it was 60 to 64. My father served in the Air Force from 64 to 68. The other family members also were, my other uncle was Army too, so none of them saw combat, none of them saw Vietnam, you know, which is good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, also amazing, given the time they were in, one would think that they would have experienced that. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate the call from Alden. If you are a Vietnam veteran, one of the things I would be interested in hearing about from those of you who served in Nam, do you feel, I mean, look, we all know you got screwed when you came home. I was a little boy. I've heard the horror stories of how you were abused at airports, how you were abused on college campuses. If you served in Nam and you're wearing your Vietnam veteran baseball cap around town, do you feel at all in 2019 as though you have been vindicated? Do you, in fact, now feel appreciated? It took so long. Did it take you? Do you actually feel at this point as though you have gained some vindication for all of the abuse you had to endure? And those of you who served in Korea, do you finally believe that you're getting your fair share of recognition for the sacrifices and privations through which you had to live? Because those are the two wars it's like nobody likes to talk about. 803-0930-*930 and 1-800-616-WBEN. And Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, Veterans Day 2019, especially enjoying hearing from those of you from whom we have not heard before. If you are a veteran, tell us your story. And if you are a veteran, tell us what you want to hear from those of us who did not serve.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Is thank you for your service. Is that getting a little bit old? One of our earlier callers said we should be specific. Thank you for your Navy service. Thank you for your Army service. But is thank you for your service getting a bit old? It's almost like when somebody dies and you say, I'm sorry for your loss. It's almost, has it become too trite? Is there something else we ought to be saying? Let's get back to the calls on WBEN, everybody in order. And it is Bob in Cheektowaga. Bob, Veterans Day 2019, what's your story?
Well, I joined the Navy back in January of 68. And the day I joined, I was flying from Buffalo to Chicago, and while en route, the Koreans stole the Pueblo. And, it was quite a day. I joined the Navy. It was my first airplane ride, and we got into Great Lakes, and there was a buzz about Korea, and we don't know what's going on, and that was a crazy start to my naval career.
I would imagine. So when the Pueblo incident happened, that was day one of your Navy career, and there you are just starting things out. Did you have any second thoughts about joining at that point?
None at all. not at all. I wanted to be a sailor for a long time before that. So
what was the highlight of your naval career?
Oh, probably meeting the guys I met. I mean, the guys around the country, it was just amazing. I mean, guys I still got a little contact with, but a lot of good people.
No, that's great. That's great. Bob, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Gordon in Eggertsville next up. Gordon, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to check in with you. Nothing exciting about my career. I did a little time in Wildflecken, Germany, where Hitler trained his ski troops. But what I wanted to do was give a shout-out to my flight instructor. He's a decorated World War II pilot.
Just no last name, please, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay, not to worry. His name is John. I call him Johnny. He flew a P-47, the old jug, and he's decorated. I spoke with him just the other day. He's 90-something.
Oh, he's still with us.
And he's one of the most tremendous individuals I have ever met. He was instructing snowboard out at Tamarack up until he was 80, and he's still hanging around, and I'm not sure if he's going to do the turkey trot this year, but it wouldn't surprise me.
That's pretty amazing, and here's a guy who was flying the Thunderbolt during World War II?
Yes, he was, as I said, a decorated Thunderbolt pilot, and took out a railroad, I think, at the time.
Jeez. So what did you do in terms of training in Germany where the Germans trained their ski troops? What was your assignment? What did you learn how to do?
I learned how to freeze.
Like living in Buffalo was an ample pre-training?
Exactly it was. But as I said, what I have done does not hold a candle to what Johnny's done. And I just wanted to give a shout out again, no last name, but this guy is a tremendous individual.
I wish you'd call.
Yeah, well, maybe I can give him a spike and get him to buzz you up.
I certainly hope you can. I hope he can get through. I'm happy to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And, you know, there was a time, I started doing this back in the 1980s, and there was a time we heard from a lot of World War II veterans. But unfortunately, you know, common sense tells you that as time moves along, there are just fewer and fewer of them on whom to draw. And at some point, we're going to be left with zero World War II veterans who are still living among us. Here's Roseanne in Grand Island on WBEN. Roseanne, hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, Roseanne.
Force nurse during the Cuban crisis.
Air Force nurse, so where were you stationed and what did you do?
Well, I gave the Air Force a choice. I wanted to go to Bermuda or California or Hawaii, and they sent me to Topeka, Kansas. So I was a first lieutenant at the hospital in Topeka, Kansas. It was a SAC base.
So how did you get to be, what prompted your joining the Air Force to become an Air Force nurse?
Well, my family was military, but I was living in Liberty, New York in the Catskills, and I was a registered nurse. I could support myself, and there was a big world out there, and I just wanted to get out into it. And the cheapest way was to join the military. So I joined the Air Force.
Other than Kansas, did you have any other assignments that we might find interesting?
No, because I only served 2 years in the Air Force, but I was at the same base as civil service for a year. The Air Force at the time was not crazy about having married nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid you get married and get pregnant and you're out. They don't do that anymore.
Do you still have cherished pictures of you in uniform?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it looked a lot better.
Oh, stop. Well, we all would. Roseanne, that's a great story, and thank God, because the Cuban Missile Crisis, which seemed to have dominated this Veterans Day program we're doing, thank God you didn't have any combat casualties from that. Did you have any casualties from accidents or anything like that?
Yes. We lost from training. Well, my husband was a navigator then, And so they were deployed all over the country, mainly in the East. And the nurses were all, we were all set. We had set up a MASH unit, and we were going to be transferred to Homestead Air Force Base because I don't know. I think I've heard some people on your program say how very close we were to war. And my husband was deployed. They were ready to attack. They took off. I don't know where they went. We were not allowed to contact any of the guys. Mm-hmm. And the nurses were all set to be flown right to Homestead to get the casualties.
Just one quick question for you, and I asked somebody else who served during that era. You were active duty when President Kennedy was assassinated, correct?
Yes, I was.
And what was it like being in the military on that day as events progressed and, you know, we moved the DEFCON ranking?
It was very odd. I was working nights. I remember, everybody remembers what they did when Kennedy was killed. And I was working nights, and I slept. I was asleep during the day. And the co-pilot, my husband's co-pilot's wife, called me and told me to turn on the television because the president had been shot. And I thought she was just being stupid. But I did, and she was not being stupid. And the Air Force people that I knew went about their business. And there, of course, were parties all the time. And what they did, they had a very subdued party, pulled the shades down, and didn't make any noise. And we had party.
Wow. That's fascinating.
I was in Turkey then. And the waiter came into the officers' club and informed them that President Kennedy had been shot. And he expressed his sympathies to all of these military people who were now going to be losing their jobs and maybe even assassinated. I mean, that was the Turkish way. That's what they thought.
Mm. Very interesting. Roseanne, thank you very much for the call. Very much appreciated. Actually, if you are, and I was a baby when JFK was shot, so I don't have any firsthand recollection of this, but if you go to YouTube, you can actually watch what the radio and TV coverage was as it unfolded on November 22nd, 1963, and it truly is fascinating. And there was also a 1977 movie with Lorne Greene from Bonanza called The Trial of Lee Harvey Oswald, which does a great job of showing the case for and against Oswald. Definitely check it out. The Trial of Lee Harvey Oswald, 1977, and it's on YouTube. And basically it is a what could have been had Oswald not been murdered prior to a legal adjudication, making him, by the way, in the eyes of the law, an innocent man, just like Jack Ruby was an innocent man at the moment he died, even though everybody saw him kill Oswald. His case was appealed. The appeal was upheld. So Jack Ruby, according to the law, is an innocent man. Let's go back to the calls, and it's James in West Seneca. You're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom. This is James Raymond. I served from 2001 to 2004. I actually joined the military 5 days before September 11th.
So, okay, this obviously, that was another earth-changing day in the history of this country. Can you tell us what happened in your situation?
So I joined 5 days. I was an 18-year-old that thought I knew all the answers to life, and quickly life changed for me on that day. So I was down in Fort Benning, Georgia, and that day forever changed me, and it went from me paying, having a way to pay for college to turning into a real-life situation and going over to Afghanistan in 2003.
Wow. Talk about how it changed you.
So here's what it did. I mean, it ended up being a life-changing, and I'm a 100% disabled veteran. It turned me into the man that I am today. So the reason for my call was I heard you talking about Vietnam veterans, and there's a lot of us veterans that served overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq that understand that the benefits that we have today are on the backs of those men. So the reason why I called is just to say thank you. And it's not about Veterans Day being one day. It's every day. So every day that I run into a Vietnam vet, I stop and I shake his hand and I say thank you, because what's been afforded to me from the government today wouldn't be there if it wasn't on the backs of those Vietnam veterans.
And not just the benefit situation, but also the psychological cruelty the Vietnam veterans had to endure.
Absolutely. I mean, when I came back, it was a different story after 2001.
Sure.
People at baseball games and the Yankees games, they were cheering us, saying thank you. And just to get that response when you come back, but knowing that guys that served before you never got a simple thank you,
yep,
changed me forever.
Oh, and, well, not only did they not get thanked, they had things thrown at them, and they were called baby killers, a stain on the escutcheon of the country.
100%. And what I think we need more now than ever is patriotism, not to run through one day, but to be every day. So as much as I appreciate Veterans Day and eating a free lunch or here and there, that should be what this country wraps themselves around every day. Because there's veterans that I serve with that are still struggling to this day after their service in the military. And to be honest with you, Tom, one day hurts them more than getting said thank you to every single day for their service. And everybody that's listening, if you know a veteran or you know somebody, reach out to them and say thank you, because they're ultimately the ones that paid the ultimate sacrifice and signed a contract in a time of war to sign up and join the military. So they're yeah, the ones. It's a great to have one day, but let's thank them every single day.
Oh, I love running into the Vietnam people, and I get the biggest response from the Vietnam people, although I've gotten some really nice letters over the years from people who served in Afghanistan and Iraq, and one in particular stands out that just, I won't get into it now, but it was very, very touching. Thank you very, very much. I really, really appreciate it. It is 5:50 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly with you on a Monday. This is a special Monday. It's Veterans Day. It's 5:53. It's a simple mission, but it might be an impossible one. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Great to hear from different voices today. Here's Al in Buffalo. You are on.
Hi, I'm calling to represent my father who flew the B-17s in World War II, if it's possible.
Sure, as long as we don't have last names.
Correct. Well, my father flew the B-17 in World War II, and he was shot down. And if I could give you a character of my father, he would have been in the Dirty Dozen. He was a real crazy dude when I knew him. I'm 67 years old, and he was... He came home, I didn't realize it, because he was always drinking, and he would always say, I shouldn't be alive. I don't know why I survived. And I wasn't mature enough to ask him, you know, important questions. But I would like to share some, you know, a story. He told me one time when he was in Fallujah, Italy, he went on with three other guys on a Jeep, and he went out just traveling along. And they came upon a wedding, and so they invited themselves to some Italian wedding.
Yeah. I've done that.
Yeah. So as they left, they went to get back in their Jeep, and the Jeep wouldn't start, and they opened up the hood, and the distributor cap was gone. And they decided to go back to the wedding, and they grabbed the groom, and they put a gun to his head, and they said, you got 5 minutes to put the distributor cap or you're going to have a dead groom. So they waited 5-10 minutes, and they went back, and the distributor cap was in the Jeep, and they drove, and they went back to camp.
Wow. How about where your dad was shot down? Was he shot down over Germany?
I believe so. I never got that location, but...
I mean, was he a POW? Do you know that?
No, he was rescued by an underground... I think you said they were the French.
Oh, the French resistance. Thank God for that, because some of our guys who got shot down or were taken as prisoners of war by the Nazis in World War II, they were sent to Mauthausen concentration camp, and for punishment, they would have to carry enormous stone blocks up this giant mountain, and the intent was to exhaust them until they died, and many of them did.
Yeah, he had survivor's guilt, not... Now that I'm mature enough to realize that, and
now it's a real thing. Thank you very much for the call. A pleasure hearing from you. Had the pleasure of flying in a B-17. Fortunately, it was not under combat situation, but it was. I tell you, it was quite a beast just to be up in that thing. Hey, be careful. First of all, thank you very much for all the calls. I apologize for not being able to get to everybody today as far as our phone calls are concerned, but do be careful driving. Use your best winter driving skills. Brush everything off and all that jazz. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, 556 on Veterans Day. And thank you to all veterans, no matter in which branch you served or what you did or for how long you served. Thank you for serving us, whatever it is you did.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.